Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It's so good to be with all of you today. We are live right here on Rumble. We are on Twitter, Spreeley TV, Roku, and Apple TV, every podcast platform you can ever imagine. And of course, our 50,000-watt blowtorch AM radio station, News Radio 1180 AM, reaching up into Canada, down the East Coast. That is the Shannon Joy Network. We're lean, we're mean, we're independent. And we have one of my all-time number one favorite guests ever in the history of the world, Daniel Horowitz. He is the host of the Conservative Review podcast on The Blaze. He's been coming on the Shannon Joy Show for almost 10 years, which I can't believe, Daniel Horowitz. It's been that long. We're having the same conversations that you and I had 10 years ago, Daniel. It feels like Groundhog Day political hell as we move into yet another election year with two decrepit candidates, Republican and Democrats. So glad that you could be with us today. How are you feeling today?
Hey, a little bit more gray hair than 10 years ago. It looks like I'm the only one who ages.
Oh my, well,
But
no, you look great. You look great.
Shannon, look, I would say it's the same old, nothing changes, but the one difference is that the growing group of people we had at the time that understood that there was a uniparty now are the ones that are participating in it, all the while thinking they're not. So it's kind of another layer of controlled opposition on top of controlled opposition. So it's a little bit harder. That growing movement we had was just injected with heroin. So they're kind of running around in circles while the left is going straight for the kill on every issue. So I think the theme we need to really focus on is dominion, is on what is in our power to do. Oh, they're doing that, the left's doing this, Hunter Biden's doing that. Proverbs 4:25, basically, let your eyes look right on, let them shine straight before you. Don't falter, don't look away. You look away, you will land in evil. And you got to keep your eyes on an affirmative direction. That I think is my biggest message in the era we live in, that we need to judge our standards by what we believe, juxtaposed to what is in our power to do and influence. Because if everything we judge is relative to but the left, but the media, then you become like them. Because, it's not very hard to move 3 million light years to the left, which is where they are in a demonic, it's not even left, it's not liberal, it's just demonic, and then kind of walk it back 3 feet, and have a cat fight over those 3 feet worth of real estate, light years worth into that demonic pit. That's why we need to just focus affirmatively. Well, we have influence here. We say this guy's good. We say this guy has influence. Here are the leverage points. Here are the force multiplying issues. Here's the way we can influence their outcome. Are we doing it or not? We can't measure it based on, hey, Shannon, I really had a good line today on Twitter against some random leftists. I really had a good day, and then I wake up the next day with no continuity of agenda or anything. And oh well, this is going on. And hey, let me comment here. you know, you might be earning a lot of money from that, but the bottom line is you ain't owning the libs. The libs are owning you.
Well, and yesterday I talked to my audience about the double-edged sword of a Rhino Republican Party, a faux conservative movement within the Rhino Republican Party, and then a conservative media that covers for them and runs cover for them continually, right? And the perfect example of what you described here and what you're mentioning is this 20-year, and we talk about Groundhog Day political hell, feels like it's been about 20 years of the left moving the ball down the field in every way imaginable, through legislation, through the courts, through the you know, long march through the institutions from the bottom up within public education, state governments, localities, you name it. And the Republican Party movement, conservative movement, really just focusing on the latest surface level, 100 level battle between this character, Nancy Pelosi, and this character. A good example would be, you know, Trump in the bloodbath statement, which was taken out of context. And we spent 24 hours talking about that. Yeah. Right now, one of the best examples is exactly what is happening in Congress, as we should be wrestling over and tussling over a budget battle to rein in the Biden administration. You have the conservative media screaming bloody murder every day about the border, about the influx of, you name it, Hezbollah, gangbangers, whatever it is, right? But the second we get to a moment where we can do something about it and achieve some leverage, and that would be the budget, everyone goes quiet, including the de facto leader of the party, Donald Trump. So you've been one of the best on this right now. I mean, you are watching in real time the train, the flaming train, go off the cliff. We had the opportunity. The budget battle is essentially over. Like, what? How bad is it? And can you give the audience some context there? Sure.
It has been surreal. It has been surreal. I have never seen a time where we have lived through so much existential crises, you know, invasion, inflation, indoctrination, inquisition, you know, locking up, you know, our own Steve Baker here at the Blaze, literally for reporting. I mean, I actually believe my talking points. I mean, because I could be next. I tell my wife all the time to, you know, make sure she has Steve Dace's number in case the FBI comes. I really do believe that, because that literally happened to Steve Baker. He didn't do anything. The FBI was actually fine. They understood he didn't do anything until he was reporting things they didn't like. And then they go and lock him up. This is very serious. So believe it or not, I believe it. So you come and you have a point where the funding runs out. Okay, well, now let's say we have a funding fight over abolishing Social Security or something like that. Well, that's going to be very hard to do because it's a pretty popular program, right? Okay, but this is a 90-10 issue. Well, let's take the invasion part, just that. The public gets it, okay? I mean, you can't not. Maybe they don't get every intricacy of the types of gangs from which countries are coming in, but they get the fact that, whoa, I mean, we've never had anything like this before. Right. I mean, Shannon, it's bad enough that if tomorrow we pressed a button and had zero flow over the border, we would still be dead 10 times over if we don't have states start removing these people, because just the amount that has come in, every day we could, if we had the immigration status, which we usually don't, of the offenders, the amount of drunk driving murders, the amount of child rapes, the amount of gangbangers we've let in. And that's before you get into the fact that the largest sending country is Venezuela, which is the base of operation for Iran and Hezbollah in the Western Hemisphere. And we just caught one. I mean, the story's right itself. If you can't engage on a budget fight that we will not fund the invasion until this is over, and until you agree to empower states to remove these people, which you're going to need, right? We have about 6.3 million illegal aliens on the undetained docket of ICE. What that means is that even Biden's ICE has identified them for removal. So you have to be pretty bad, because remember, a lot of drunk drivers, or if you're caught for theft, they don't consider you deportable. I mean, legally, you're deportable, of course.
Yeah.
But it's got to be really bad. So most of these people are criminal aliens. We have 6.3 million known of other countries' criminal aliens indefinitely in this country. and nothing happens. I mean, you have an American punk commit a crime in France or something, you know, they'll send him back here.
Yeah.
We are gathering other people's stuff. You cannot begin to imagine the security and cultural transformation that's taking place in our communities. And I think the Lake and Riley thing and these other cases are starting to bring that to light. And yet the last month we had a protracted process. It wasn't like a one and done overnight because they had to have temporary bills and then they divided up the funding into a few different bills. So the final one is this week, which is going to include the actual DHS Homeland Security funding. And it's not even story number 100. So right. Normally, if Johnson would screw us on the first tranche, so then we'd all be all ticked off and you start building support. But
call your congressmen, all the conservative media.
Nothing. And the reason is because we saw when, you know, I mean, you're not allowed to say it. So I'm just going to say, you know, we used to say the magic juice for the vaccine because you can. So I'm going to call it the magic orange.
Right.
Okay, so the magic orange, when he wants to speak out, like against the Ukraine bill, which is good, or the Lankford bill, it killed it, right? It was good.
Right.
So, you know, here we don't hear anything. And notice that not a single Republican, even the good ones, are even hanging over motion to vacate when this guy has crushed us more than even Kevin McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And the reason is they can't because he has the support from the magic orange, and everything he does has the support from the magic orange. And then Johnson is now leading him around like a kid in a you know party. Here's an exhibit. Here's this there. Every time they need an endorsement, so you might think, oh man, Daniel, we don't have enough votes. All right, yeah. You know, well, Trump's awesome, okay, but it's a sucky rhino Republican Party screwing with Trump. All right, awesome. So right. Let's send him some reinforcements. So yeah. Every single place around the map that we are trying to recruit a candidate that supports what he allegedly supports, he endorses against the guy. So
he's endorsing the rhinos, the rhino.
Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Like Shannon, what am I supposed to do? I want to be a good MAGA foot soldier. So I'm told like January 6th and the vaccines. And so I'm like trying to go around and find the candidates. And mind you, these candidates support Trump, by the way. Like,
yeah.
You know, they support him. And he endorses against them. What are we supposed to do?
Thanks for listening to The Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023. What is the litmus test for him for endorsing against them? Is it just what the rhino Republican establishment in any given county is telling him? They're just basically saying this is the pick, this is the party guy. And so you're talking about outsiders, you're talking about people who would challenge incumbents or who would go and join maybe the Freedom Caucus or people like Chip Roy or Tom Massey, reinforcements to come in and bolster Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of these you know renegades.
Matt Gaetz
and Donald Trump is putting the kibosh on them every time in terms of a door. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Look, you know, in Ohio, there's another example of that. This guy, Craig Riedel, who promised to join the Freedom Caucus, Trump endorsed his opponent. Because think about it, if you're running and you're like, I'm going to join the Freedom Caucus, so immediately what's called the CLF, the Congressional Leadership Fund, it was started by McCarthy, now run by Johnson, but McCarthy still runs it.
Yeah.
So I want to zoom out and give you, you know, a 30,000 foot view since Trump was the presumptive nominee after Iowa, really after Iowa, it was over, it never started retroactively. There's no real primary in retrospect.
Yeah.
So what we've seen is all of a sudden out of nowhere, pissing up to Bud Light, like, whoa, where did that come from? All of a sudden, a torrent of these endorsements, bringing in McCarthy and Johnson really close. And now he's, you know, Bloomberg's reporting that he's thinking about making McCarthy his chief of staff if he were to become president. And then, you know, you look around and then he's dead silent on the budget bill. And what it all leads to is this. We were told one of the most powerful talking points in 2016 from Trump himself was that, look, you know, Republicans sell you out. They lie to you all the time. Let's face it, the donors, where the money really is in the party, they don't share your values. And here's the thing. I can't be bought off. I got money. I don't need it. And that was a very powerful talking point.
Yeah.
One of the most profound talking points of 2016. And now it's come full circle that we renominated a guy who is so desperate for cash now that he is going wherever the moneyed interests are. And that's why he's even endorsing against, like, you have a case in New York Senate where you are, where even Roger Stone, Giuliani, Steve Bannon, I mean, that whole crowd endorsed Kara Castronova, and he endorsed this random guy. It's all the moneyed interests. And he's desperate for money, and he will be, even if he were to become president. And this is the problem.
Right.
And this is why, forgetting, even if Trump were amazing messaging-wise and values-wise and principle-wise and implementation-wise, there's a lot of ifs there. But you can't put the guy who's on the hook for the Fourth Reich himself as the nominee. I mean, you have to have, you know, he has his defense and then someone else tries to win. That alone never made any sense, because just ground game wise, all the money is going into that. Everyone's like, Daniel, it's not fair. Well, I agree, but like, do you want to win or not? So, I mean, that's a big part of the problem now. It used to be it was incidental. He would often endorse rhinos. Now it's every single one, meaning it is guaranteed that if you're a Freedom Caucus guy and you run, Johnson and McCarthy or Steve Daines will call it in and you're done.
I think it's pretty obvious. Daniel Horowitz of the Conservative Review podcast over at The Blaze. Make sure that you follow Daniel on Twitter. His handle is at RM Conservative. I think it's pretty obvious that there's been a marked shift to the left by Donald Trump over the past 3 to 6 months. I mean, you had him blaming the lack of the 2022 red wave on pro-life causes and the pro-life issue that Republican Party has embraced. He criticized the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court in a moment. You have him doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on the clot shot and the poison jab, which is detestable by his base.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
He's not even remaining quiet. That's the thing.
Right,
I thought he'd kind
holding.
Of like avoid it. But instead, the fact
but
that
why
he
wouldn't
took,
he, Daniel? But why wouldn't he, right? He was handed the primary and then in the candidacy on a silver platter. He's learned that he can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue. And everyone will let him get away with it. The conservative media will let him get away with it. His base will let him get away with it. He's still able to raise money. So this move to the left, I don't anticipate that he'll move back towards the middle at
all.
Why
should he?
Right.
We are our only advocates. So if the right tells him you could do no wrong, meaning I'm not even talking about not voting for him. I'm just saying, look, I'm not getting involved in that debate. I'm just saying that debate itself obfuscates a third option that, well, you got 8 months out, and it was really 9 months out when he was presumptive nominee. You had plenty of time. You could try to say, hey, Trump, you're off message. Hey, you need to be doing this. Like, you're able to do that. And this is not just with Trump, but this is how we should be with everyone.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Let me give your audience a vivid illustration of what a movement looks like, not an industry. What this means. So, Biden is the most pro-Hamas, you know, administration we've ever had. He's literally, the State Department is funding a color revolution in Israel, openly calling for the overthrowing of their democratically elected leader, trying to build a port for Hamas while Hamas's cousins are blocking our shipping lanes. I mean, he's pretty hardcore, right?
Yeah.
But his base strikes a hard bargain. So the Muslims that we decided to let in to Dearborn that are now like jihadists, so they're not acculturated to America, so they don't understand that it's not socially acceptable to openly say we enjoy killing and raping Jews. You have to kind of like couch it a little bit. So the Biden administration says, look, October 7th was horrible. And then they go around and ensure that Israel commits suicide. But they're like, hey, no, that's not good enough. So they strike a hard bargain and they go and protest. And they had a protest vote non-committal in Michigan. And you know what? It worked. So that's when... And despite the fact that they blocked him on the way to the State of the Union address, and of course none of them got arrested and, you know, locked up in the gulag, of course.
Right, of course.
And then he's like, yeah, we're building a port for Hamas. I mean, so that's what a movement looks like.
Right.
He's already in their corner and they drive a hard bargain.
They push for
we
more.
We take guys on the Republican side that are antithetical on the critical issues of our time. They're anathema to us. And we're like, yeah, that's okay. Like, it's all good. It's all good. And it's like, it's not November 5th. We got plenty of time.
Right.
See, this is the scam. We're always holding, and you know, 3 seconds before having the ballot in front of you. Okay, Dem or Republican? Well, there's freaking 2 years between each election.
Right.
You're able to engage on the Republican-controlled Congress and legislatures and down-the-ballot primaries and engage on their messaging. And when they're off message on the vaccines or the border or the budget, you could say, hey, buddy, this is not going to fly in our party.
Mm.
But then again, that's when you have a movement. Right. We have an industry, so we do none of that.
Yeah, and I think that you've nailed it. We have an industry, an entertainment industry. We have CPAC and, you know, all of the different types of organizations and the media outlets. And it's all about the clickbait. It's all about the latest outrage. It's all about the latest headline. It's leading with fear, leading with division. And I think it's just progressed to a point where there is nothing left. It's a complete empty vessel. We're talking to Daniel Horowitz today. He is the host of the Conservative Review podcast and contributor over at The Blaze. You can follow him at @RMConservative on Twitter. He is a must listen every single day. He is show prep for the Shannon Joy Show. Absolutely brilliant. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court when we come back. They are in session, and a pretty scathing tweet that you put out the other day. Not a lot of sense coming out of the Supreme Court right now. We're going to try to give the audience an understanding of what's going on. Looking at Missouri v. Biden, very interested in your thoughts on that. And later in the program, I do want to talk about hopeful things. You know, how do we create a movement? How do we get a movement going? Obviously, something is very, very broken within the conservative movement and the Republican Party. How long can we do this? I don't know, right? How long do you do this? I don't know, but I want to hear what Daniel has to say about that. So we'll be back in a moment. Right here on The Shannon Joy Show.
Quinn Pittman's goat milk laundry soap is a hit.
Hey, Miss Valerie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Quinn, thank you.
My sister loves taking music lessons with you.
Oh, I love teaching her music lessons. She's a great student, an absolute joy to work with.
She also said how much you love our laundry soap.
I sure do. I can hardly believe how little amount of soap I have to use. My clothing smells fresh, it's great, and my clothing has never been softer. I also really appreciate that your soap does not use any harsh or harmful chemicals, and I love knowing that my family is a lot healthier now.
That's the difference between detergents that you buy at the store and our soap, which is made with raw goat milk.
Well, what you guys are doing is great. I love it. I appreciate it. And I am a lifelong customer.
Well, that's great. I'll see you at church on Sunday.
Sounds great. See you then.
Get your goat milk laundry soap today at qpgoatsoap.com. qpgoatsoap.com.
Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure, but having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. We are sponsored by Connecta Mobile. Quick shout out to this amazing company sponsoring the Shannon Joy Show. So thankful for their sponsorship and their support. They're all about security, right? Big Supreme Court case, Biden v. Missouri. The surveillance, the censorship, the apparatus that has been built within the federal government, going way back to the George W. Bush administration, the Patriot Act, the formation of the NSA. It is a growing leviathan, and more Americans are very, very serious about protecting their privacy and protecting the privacy of their family. Your phones are little spy devices right in your pocket. And I'm thrilled that there's a market now for phone companies and phone plans that are all about complete security. Connecta Mobile will protect your privacy with comprehensive security solutions, end-to-end encryption, secure communication, adaptive authentication, mobile devices security, user-friendly interfaces, and continuous updates and improvements. It's total security for your family and your phone against the intrusions by not only the federal government, but hostile, large, massive corporations that will work against you on behalf of the federal government. We've seen them coming together against the liberty and interests of regular people, and there is something that you can do about that. Please go to phone123.com/joy. That's phone123.com/joy to look at their plans. You can get them as low as $35 a month. And that's just to get you started. You can also call them. I know a lot of you would prefer to talk to a human being. I do myself. 941-246-2156. That's 941-246-2156. So you can learn about all of their plans. We're going to be interviewing another executive with their company. We had a great guest on a week ago, and just a wealth of information. This is really important. This is the Fourth Amendment. This is your privacy and security. And so thrilled that there are companies out there now that will provide that. So thank you. Thank you to Connecta Mobile. Daniel Horowitz joins us today. He is the daily host. So every day you can get his podcasts on your iPhone, on every major podcast platform. He is with The Blaze and one of the most brilliant policy analysts in the nation, perhaps the world. And he'll tell you the truth every single day, which is so rare, Daniel Horowitz. It is to have someone as independent as you, kind of outside of that system, speaking truth, really thankful for you. And I know that my audience loves you. They're thankful for you as well. And I want to keep encouraging you to stand up and speak out. I know that it's lonely. I can relate. I'm kind of outside of
system. We don't have phone booths anymore, but you could fit all of us into a phone booth, basically.
Exactly. No, but you've done really great work. So let's pivot to the Supreme Court, right? Because we're always looking for solutions, whether it's the next electoral solution, the next senator or congressman or piece of legislation or president, we're looking for organizational solutions. And a lot of conservatives really focus on the Supreme Court. And one of the biggest victories of the Trump administration, according to so many on the conservative side, is the conservative nomination of Supreme Court justices. What would we do, Daniel Horowitz, without Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, right? You were warning about those two from the very beginning. I have a very long memory, Daniel Horowitz. We had lots of conversations during that fracas. We were like, oh, hold up on both of these guys. They have really bad records. They're not constitutionalists. We have red flags here and red flags there. But alas, again, a voice in the wilderness, you are. Things are a little bit nutty in Supreme Court right now. You have them reviewing Missouri v. Biden, which is now Murphy versus Missouri, I believe. And from everyone that I have talked to, they were not happy about what happened in the oral arguments. And from everything from the response of conservative justices to the flat out, I mean, blatant totalitarianism of the left-wing justices. But there's also other stuff happening there. You tweeted out, you know, just yesterday we had rulings from the courts that illegals have the right to invade, unilaterally assert jurisdiction, and be protected by the Second Amendment rights. Meanwhile, an Indiana couple lost their child to the state for not using tranny pronouns, and the SCOTUS denied the appeal. We've got some big issues to work out. What is your sense right now? There doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason coming from some of these conservative justices. It feels like you're kind of dangling, and it's just whatever the latest whim is. And that's an uneasy feeling that people are getting about what might be the most important First Amendment lawsuit in the past 100 years in this country. When you talk about a slam dunk in terms of Missouri v. Biden, it's all right there. But people are like, are they really going to refuse to hear this? So what are your thoughts on what's going down within the SCOTUS right now?
Sure. So there's a ton to unpack. Obviously, a lot of this is juxtaposing in that one tweet, a lot of different things to just show you that I'm trying to bring the broad point that whenever you have the bad guys take away rights from us that are legitimate rights, we don't seem to be able to come crying to the courts and rely on them to save us from that. But then when we actually gain power, let's say in a red state, to implement a policy to protect our security, our sovereignty in a way that certainly is in line with the Constitution, then they're always there to concoct new rights, and then even for foreign nationals. Now, obviously, you know, some of this is preliminary. It's in flux. So, you know, the Texas case on the allowing the injunction of the lower court against Texas's immigration enforcement law to go into play. So that changged within 24 hours, which is very peculiar. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that. So
will you explain that a little bit more to the audience, what went down with that and what was so unique about it?
Sure. So to be clear, that the courts have not ruled on the merits at all of basically where this is, what this is going to boil down to is Arizona v. U.S. And that was a 2012 case where, you know, John Roberts joined with the bad guys. You know, everyone else is new, and said basically that states are preempted by the federal government from enforcing immigration law, which is bizarre because they enforce other drug laws and other federal crimes. States could always make that a crime. It's obviously absurd,
right?
And that, you know, Scalia said basically you're saying a state has to be invaded and there's nothing they can do. And he was very upset. He actually read his dissent from the bench at the time. He was visibly irritated by what occurred there.
Yeah.
And that needs to be overturned. I am not confident. I'm actually fairly confident it will not be. Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly confident that they will screw with it. What happened here, just to be clear, is people might think, oh, well, first looked like SCOTUS was against us, now they're for us. Well, It's really neither. What happened was the district court put an injunction on it pending the trial on the merits of whether, you know, it's constitutional. Okay, and this is SB4 that basically states that Texas can make it a felony if they think that you cross the border illegally to hit you up with felony charges. Okay. Now, really what should happen is just automatically they should be marching everyone back over the border. That's what I'd like to see.
Right.
But so they did SB4. So yeah. So to at least have a criminal deterrent, that's not the same as state deportation, which is really where we need to ultimately head, but it's a start. So they did not rule on that, just put an injunction on. And so they appealed, the Texas, that is, appealed injunction to the Fifth Circuit, which is one of the better circuits.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fifth Circuit favored them, and they put a stay on the injunction, meaning that we go back to SB4 was passed and signed into law. And for now, pending the trial on the merits, you could enforce it.
Okay.
Supreme Court comes in, and no, they reinstate the district court injunction for a week, and then they extended another week. And then, on Monday, Alito, who, it's not really him, but he oversees that circuit, the Fifth Circuit. And so he, on behalf of the court, just kind of indefinitely put out an indefinite injunction, meaning kept the injunction until such time that the court makes another decision on it. So whenever you write that, that usually means like indefinite pending the trial.
Right.
And then and then we were all up in arms. 24 hours later, they come and completely take off the injunction, side with the Fifth Circuit, and now they could put it into place. Remember, they're not ruling. This is not a signal that states are free to enforce. Now, I would argue they are because we believe in constitutional supremacy. So just a comment on that. This is conjecture. Okay. I've never seen that before. I do believe, and I've said this all the time, that judicial supremacism is a paper tiger. It's only supreme because the other branches are like, oh, the court said. It's like a marriage is no longer a marriage. A man's a woman. Oh, man, I don't know. There's nothing we can do. But if the people are pissed off and they make it clear, like, you know, we got an invasion going on. We're not going with this. Like, screw off. And I don't
it has
think,
impact. You're saying yeah, it has
no,
impact.
I don't think we were headed in that direction.
Right.
But there might have been a perception. And I think that's where, like, all right. Because also keep in mind, it wasn't like 5-4. It was all the GOP appointees, which I'm telling you, even if we would win on Arizona v. U.S. on the merits on state-based enforcement, you wouldn't get Roberts. So the fact that he joined was just to give it more clout. It's a rope-a-dope. But just to be clear, Shannon, I'm not talking it down.
Yeah.
We need to use this and give the perception, oh, that states are free to enforce and every state needs to go into session now.
Right.
The ones that aren't and the ones that are need to pass enforcement. And we need to have a budget fight explicitly allowing states to do it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. So the door is open a crack. You're saying let's bust it wide open, use this. Right.
It's not on the merits. It's just that it was egregious. It was egregious that the Supreme Court would overturn the Fifth Circuit. Because let me give you broader background.
Okay.
Because this is in flux, but I could tell you what we've seen in cases that have already gone on a long time. We have seen a disturbing pattern from the three Trump appointees, more so Barrett and Kavanaugh than Gorsuch, but sometimes Gorsuch. Gorsuch depends. When he's righteous, he's good. When he's not, he's not. We've seen a disturbing trend where they have now granted DOJ something. Don't quote me on it. It's something in the ballpark of 13 of the last 16 emergency appeals. They've granted their motions to overturn a motion of the Fifth Circuit. So we've seen for a number of years, I've been writing about this for years, that the non-Alito Thomas GOP appointees have been playing what's called the shadow docket game.
Ooh.
So remember
shadow
the Supreme Court
docket game. I'm going to remember that. Okay.
Yeah. So what's the shadow docket? Remember, the Supreme Court only takes up about 50, 60 cases on the merits per year. Maybe they'll dispose of a few dozen more without full trial, but that leaves thousands of cases that are decided at the appellate level. And in fact, the trend has been headed more in that direction. I believe they're now hearing fewer cases than since the Civil War.
Okay.
So what's happening is you have a lot of bad circuit court rulings that are extremely novel, creating novel rights like a right to for a male in a Idaho prison, for example, is a real case, to get his balls cut off and be treated like a female and then have the balls cutting on taxpayer dime. That is a real case. The Ninth Circuit ruled that. And the Supreme Court, over the dissent of Scalia and Thomas and Alito, would not take up the appeal. Now, you don't have to take up everything, but when you have a lower court blocking a red state on a core policy and concocting a novel right to undergird that, you really have to take it up. And we're seeing it even when there's a circuit split, which usually always triggers Supreme Court review. They don't take it up. They don't take it up. And they allow these bad things to go. We have this in Virginia, where you literally have a scheme there in one of the counties to overturn the Harvard University of North Carolina case on affirmative action in the context of admission. They have a get around to it. And Alito went to town. How do you not take it up? But they didn't take it up. I could go on the drag shows. They're saying there's a First Amendment. So basically like this, if the government works, and I'll rope in the Missouri v. the Murphy case, if the government goes to every major disseminator, every publisher, and says, you have to squelch anything critical of the government, somehow that's not a violation of the First Amendment. But if you say you can't have a drag show in front of children, a Tennessee federal judge, by the way, Trump appointee, and a couple others around the country, I think Indiana, we have Florida, ruled that violates the First Amendment, and the Supreme Court does not take up the appeal from Florida, right?
Mm.
So this is where I'm like, all right,
it's like a negative action kind of thing. So yes, they just
so
sit
that's
back
bad
and,
enough,
right?
But then you're like, all right, so they're gonna play this game of like the status quo, but they don't. Because when the Fifth Circuit issues good rulings for Texas, they've been they've taken up with the mifepristone, whatever, that abortion drug. They partially overturned the Fifth Circuit, at least on the motion level. We're having this in too many examples. So yeah. Yes, the Supreme Court pulled back a little bit on this, but they shouldn't have gotten involved in that to begin with. And it's a harbinger of a very bad trend. And the last example I gave in that tweet was the Indiana case, just real briefly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't believe this would be true, but Indiana, there's 3-1 majorities in the House, 4-1 Republican majorities in the Senate, Republican governor, Republican attorney general.
Red state.
And the State Department of Child Services, they grabbed a kid from a family for 4 years. It's still going on for not using transgender pronouns and in general, talking down the kid's transgenderism and not supporting it. I promise you that is the case. And in fact, I wish I had it here. I think it was that paper I just threw away. But I have a
you
quote.
Threw at me?
I have a quote that they gave in the trial court. They make it very, because they try to play games. It's 100% because of that. Todd Rakita, the attorney general, defended it at the Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court ruled in favor of the state. Beckett Fund represented them to appeal to the Supreme Court,
right?
And they did not take up the appeal, and they denied cert on Monday. And what I'm telling you is what I am very disturbed about, and this is my first book. It's more relevant today than when I wrote it, Stolen Sovereignty. And I warned about the problematic view that the courts have the final say on broad political issues, as Lincoln felt was wrong.
Right.
And I actually, Stolen Sovereignty was a double entendre, because I warned that not only would they denude us of our self-governing sovereignty to decide every issue, but the most important issue a society determines is the future membership of that society, because they were starting to create a right to immigrate. And we're seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. And we saw that, with that Chicago federal judge yesterday that said there's a Second Amendment right to illegals, even though it's as if they're not in the country because mm-hmm. they can't assert jurisdiction. So what I warned about, as I said, right now we have a uniparty problem that Republicans don't do good things. But I said, if we would ever gain power to actually make the supermajorities in red states meaningful, right? 95% of what we want to pass would be struck down. Now, yeah. They don't have the power to do that. By the way, they don't like veto a statute. Right. It's not what happens, but it's our body politic views it as such. They will strike it down. And some of you might say, well, Daniel, we need judicial supremacism for when they violate our rights, like in New York. But what COVID has shown is that 9 times out of 10, we never benefit from it. And that's the juxtaposition I'm trying to make. Yeah. That we'd be stupid to perpetuate this myth of judicial supremacism because they're never there for us. Think about it. All these states that are saying that all these courts, remember, they said that the state of New York could do anything to you. Even anything. The few victories we had, it was like, well, the feds didn't have statutory authority, but the states have complete police power over public health. Well, isn't it, Shannon, interesting? We have a measles outbreak. We have polio. We have leprosy. You could look this all up. Syphilis and open source now that, you know, because as you all know, it's not vaccination that determines this stuff. It's standard of living and sanitation. So, you know, we don't have a lot of this in America. Because, you know, they'll say it's because of vaccination. We'll say it's more sanitation. But be it as it may, we don't have, or we thought we didn't have this stuff. Tuberculosis is the big one. I'm going to have an article out. Massive open source of the massive tuberculosis prevalence among them. Because we're bringing from the Western Horn of Africa. We're bringing from Haiti, which even has typhoid and cholera. We're bringing from Venezuela. And they have all this stuff. So the same bastards who looked us in the eye and said that a state could lock down your mouth, could lock down your body, could lock down your soul, could lock down every last thing about you. There's nothing about you that they can't violate. They could rape you. Mm-hmm. It's all in the police powers of public health. But somehow when you're bringing in people prima facie from countries that if you go to CDC's website, like, for example, Ghana, they say there is a is it a TB outbreak or it's one of them? It's called a level 2. So like a travel advisory. So they're coming from Ghana. It's one of the places they're coming from. So what happened to the state police power? And Shannon, I have another thing that no one's bringing up. I remember this like yesterday. I'm sure you do. Right around this day in March, 4 years ago, Greg Abbott declared a travel ban on Louisiana and posted state troopers to enforce it. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. In essence, by the way, this was something that states couldn't even do. Right. Article 4, Section 4 the Articles of Confederation, meaning even in that loose thing, they were able to regulate interstate commerce, but not if travel. You're an American, you're American.
No, yeah, you have the freedom to move your body.
Even under the Articles of Confederation, a state didn't have the power to do that. Mm-hmm. But this is so much, there's nothing a state cannot do. Yet, we're told that, because remember, even Texas, it's only pending the merits. I really doubt the courts, unfortunately, I wish I were wrong, are going to rule with us. And they're not deporting. Okay, it's a little different. But if states were to deport, which they need to do, I could promise you we would lose it at least 7-2 in the Supreme Court and no circuit will rule with them. What happened to from the public health issue alone? Oh, and also I could give you sources. Yuma Hospital had to spend $25 million on illegals. The Yuma medical director testified before the House Judiciary Committee on that. Yuma's a tiny city. New York City is spending a fortune on that. Whatever happened to... you could flatten the curve to alleviate the hospitals.
Unbelievable.
Do you remember that?
Daniel.
Remember, like,
yeah, I do.
Like, there's nothing I can't do. Shannon, there is nothing I cannot do to you to prevent my speculative assertion of what might affect hospital intake. But yet, yeah.
I mean, and the Supreme Court has been disastrous on taking up COVID era restrictions, vaccine mandates, restrictions. They've been absolutely horrific. The one little bone they threw to conservatives was the overturning of Roe v. Wade. But let's be honest, Daniel Horowitz, 50% of abortions are the abortion pill these days. And if they have the ability to sterilize mass populations of people through forced vaccination, as they did potentially with COVID-19, will we even need abortion centers anymore, right? Like they've taken the right to force inject us, right? So why would you need abortion centers?
And the COVID vaccines, here's the difference. None of our people listening to this are getting an abortion. I mean, you know exactly what you're doing. You don't accidentally get an abortion.
Right.
Here, every doctor will tell you you have to get this shot. Everywhere you go, you have to get the shots. This is a forced abortion. And I'm glad you brought up Dobbs, because you started off the segment just wondering, you know, it seems kind of random.
Weird.
And it is, you know, with their rulings. And it is. They have a scorecard. If they give us one, they have to screw us on 10, because they can't look like they're siding with us too much. That's the Barrett Kavanaugh mentality built off of Roberts. Okay.
Jeez.
Now, here's the problem with that. I don't need the courts to be political, but the problem is that the left is so demonic. We live in a world where they believe literally like illegals have rights, but we don't. You're murdering someone if you don't wear a mask. But if you do murder someone, you're let out of prison. Okay,
yeah, it's crazy.
They believe a man's a woman, a marriage is not a marriage, a citizen is not a citizen. So obviously the nature of the political cases that are going to go before the court are black and white. And I'm sorry, you're going to have to rule with the political right, not because that is the Constitution. Like, what do you want from me? I mean, that's the nature of the cases in front of them. But the problem is, and that's why like the freedom of speech case is a slam dunk.
Yeah, but it should be.
I mean, what? So you filter it instead of the government saying, I'm going to lock you up. I just go to all the publishers and say, you know, don't publish it. Somehow you're able to do that.
Or you call them up and scream at them, literally scream at the company and say, you need to take this person out right now and, you know, hurl, you know, expletives and send them 19 emails a week, forcing them to take down accounts, forcing them to change their algorithms. I mean, the documentation and the evidence is stunning, right? And we're talking about Missouri.
Now, to be
Biden.
Clear, it is oral arguments, and you never know. We are surprised, like we're surprised with the court flipping on that motion in Texas within 24 hours.
That's a question I have for you real quickly. Oh, go ahead.
But no, but I'm just going to say the preponderance. That's why I wanted to give you the preponderance of evidence. What we've seen from Barrett and Kavanaugh since they've been on the court is very, very disturbing. Let's not forget that because of Kavanaugh and Roberts, I don't think Barrett joined with this one, Democrats are going to have more seats in the House. They created a right to racially gerrymander in the South, that the Democrats have a right to maximize their outcomes based on the black vote, which is unbelievable.
Right.
They got a free seat in Alabama, but that's likely going to grow legs in Louisiana, in Florida, in South Carolina, and several other southern states. So, you know, and they only have a narrow margin. That was Kavanaugh.
Yeah. I mean, does it give you, well, let's go to break real quick, because I have a couple more questions about the Supreme Court. And I don't want to forget them. So let's go to break real quick. We are joined today by the absolutely brilliant Daniel Horowitz. You can catch him every single day. He's on for at least an hour a day, the Conservative Review podcast on The Blaze. You can get him on every podcast platform, and make sure you follow him right now on his Twitter account. His handle is at RM Conservative. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, if you are anything like me, you live your life on your phone, working, banking, shopping, connecting with friends and family. But in the digital shadows are rogue apps watching your every move, collecting that data. And in the silence are spies listening to your private conversations. Feeling paranoid? Well, me too. And you're not alone. With Kinecta Mobile, peace of mind is one tap away. Leveraging military-grade encryption, Kinecta shields your data, ensuring your conversations and information stay private. Build a fortress around your digital life starting at just $35 a month. You'll get an encrypted device, data and conversations, no data tracking, and a free secure phone with trade-in. Do not compromise on privacy. Take control with Kinecta. Go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Now is the time for peace of mind, and you can get it with Kinecta. Welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show, joined today by Daniel Horowitz of the Conservative Review podcast. In the break, Daniel said to me, by the way, Shannon, I'm not that smart. And, you know, I would disagree with you on that, Daniel, profusely. But you said, I'm not that smart. I care. And he's like, and if you really believed the talking points of the right, and I want you all to think about this right now, about every right-wing talker, everyone in Con Inc. or Bizarro Con who's been coming at you for 20 years with the doom, the gloom, the left, what's going on the border, what's going on in abortion clinics, the most important election of every person's lifetime, every 4 years. And you think about the intensity of what they're delivering to you. And then you look at the lack of attention to actual solutions to that on a regular basis. You begin to see the separation, right? If they really believed what they were saying to you, then they would be doing everything they possibly could.
Yes.
To fix this. And that's the strangest thing, Daniel, because you do believe, and I do as well. We're looking out at a future for our children. You have four beautiful young children, slightly four, right? You don't have five yet, do you? Do you have five?
Nope. that's a lot.
I know you got a lot of them. I got three, okay? And they're older. But I cannot bear the thought of sending my children out into the future that we are on the path of giving to them.
Yeah, just think about that future. Think about it economically, demographically, socially, religiously, go on all fronts. Right now, we cannot live out just the standard of living of our parents. We have garbage products. Yeah, we can't afford them. I mean, it's unbelievable. And like, it's not just a talking point inflation. It's real. It's demonic. And it's when they say 15 minute cities, eat the bugs, owe nothing. They mean it. We saw with COVID. So we got to do something. We have the deaths. Millions killed from these vaccines, and then really the need to investigate all the previous ones and where we're headed. We're losing life expectancy. You have the social contagion. 30% of Gen Z females believe they are an alphabet soup that cannot or will not procreate. Okay. We have a war on masculinity. We have a war on femininity, both equally of women and men. We have just the whole roles of marriage and life and everything. We have persecution. My own Steve Baker, our own Blaze reporter here, just like me, it could have been me. I actually say edgier things against the government than he does. Yeah, and did. They arrested him 100% because of what he was publishing at the Blaze. This is like the whole Trump movement is very into this weaponization, but I actually believe it. So why aren't we defunding Jack Smith? We just funded DOJ, by the way. Right. DHS is going to be funded this week. DOJ was already funded. We slept through that as I was fighting it. Okay, so we have that. We have the demographics are insane. I mean, when you understand what they're doing to us, we have a systemic war on whites, which I'm very not shy about. That is a big, big problem. Okay, I mean, this is stuff you can't recover from. Everything I just said, you know, these guys would all, yeah, they all believe in. So if you believe that, if you have a knife coming at you, you think of every way to get around it. You don't have time to take selfies in front of it and, you know, have fun. Right. This is not fun. Like, you know, I used to enjoy listening to Rush Limbaugh and the Paul Shanklin parodies in the 90s. We didn't feel that it was existential. And I understand you want to do entertainment. That's fine. But if you're going to speak in existential language, as I just did, but all of these guys pretty much echo that.
Every day.
You have an obligation to say, well, wait a minute. You agree this is happening. You agree that there's a uniparty. They all say that. That's a new talk. Everyone says that. You all agree the Republican Party sucks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. By the way, yeah. You said the unibrow.
The unibrow.
But, you know, they all believe in that. So that, but I'm not done. Then we all believe that Trump rules the party, and they're very, you know, proud of that. They're like, I'll take it to the next level. Trump controls the direction, operation, and image of the Republican Party more than anyone since Abraham Lincoln. That is a true statement. If you think about it very carefully, that is a true statement. Whether you're happy with that or not, that is a fact. So at some point, you got to have your Esther moment where, well, the king loves you and you supposedly love the king. So, hey, look, they're killing my people. Take it to him. Why are you endorsing crap holes? Why are you not fighting Johnson on the budget, but supporting it? What, call these things in. Why are you doing what you're doing on the vaccines? One of two things is true. Either they don't have the influence they claim to have, or they're not picking up the phone. But I'm just saying, we don't have time for this bull crap.
When you're talking about conservative media, and I've had very similar criticisms of that apparatus of conservative media, what is it, Daniel? Are they lazy? Are they complicit? Are they dumb? Are they,
all of it.
It's bizarre to watch. And but you see,
social media has fried out their brains. So I started in this before social media, and you at least had to believe in something because you didn't have this ability day to day to have a million people and just write something pithy in like 100 characters that's not even grammatically correct. And you don't even need to sit and write a nice piece or something.
Yeah.
And, I think we have a crisis of intellect.
Yeah,
we have a crisis
yeah.
of detail. We have a crisis of values. Mm. And it's just become very profitable. I mean, think about it. You don't have to win any policy. You don't have to win any election to gain a big following, right? We have a big country, 330 million
people. You know
what they
do, though, Daniel? I think that there's something dirtier happening there, though. I think that these big followings are being built for them in exchange for, I mean,
if you know about someone,
yeah.
there's a reason for it. Like, all of a sudden, we all have to know that. Like, what the hell? Like, where did that guy come from? Like, what the hell has he ever done for us other than building the biomedical security state and advising DeWine to lock down? And suddenly, like, I'm trash and he's God. And I've been in trenches. Like,
how about cat turd on Rumble? Okay. I remember having a conversation with my producers and they're telling me, oh, you're not doing well enough because you're too hard on Trump and MAGA loves Rumble and Rumble loves Trump and you're just not good at what you do. And I'm like, cat turd goes on Rumble every day, doesn't even go on air, has absolutely no production value, puts up images of kitty cats and whatever, talks about absolutely nothing for an hour. And somehow this dude is doing 100,000 views a show. Like, but he is 100% on the MAGA train, right? Like, and so he gets on Tucker Carlson.
There's no money in what I do. This is the problem. If you look at the details that I constantly have 10 different issues going on.
I know you do.
I have my wife was commenting because, you know, like, in some of the cars now, when your phone is connected, so the roster of calls shows up. And so every last one was a state legislator, you know, a Freedom Caucus guy. I'm working with this guy in South Carolina, this guy in South Dakota, this guy in Wyoming. And they're all different issues.
Yeah.
And they call me up for advice or I help them out with something.
I know you do.
I don't get paid for that. That has nothing to do, but it's a labor of love. It makes me more knowledgeable about what's going on so I could give it over to people. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. Mm-hmm. But at a policy, Daniel, what's the legality? What's the constitutional argument on this? People count on me for that. I don't get paid for that. I could totally fax it in and not do any of that. And just like no delving into, no research, no prep. I could totally fax it in. You know, I could talk forever. So I could easily fill up an hour each day, cash my check. But, you know, I want to give the best product to my employer, but also, more importantly, to our followers. And I'm just going to tell you, there's no added value monetarily to doing that. It's very labor intensive and it gets you nowhere. You know, trying to write legislation, trying to strategize with people, trying to work down the ballot primaries that no one's paying attention to. There's no money in that.
Mm-hmm. I do think, Daniel, right now, we live in very extraordinary times where it is the dumbest of the dumbest of times. And it's very frustrating for people who care and who have passion, who are genuine and do what you do every day. But I do think that you are you are building whatever it is that you're building. It is on bedrock. Okay. It is solid, Daniel. I know with your connections, the people that you're working with and, you know, I believe that that will be rewarded in the end, especially if you continue to be faithful and obedient. And I know that you are. I know your faith is very important to you.
And Shannon, I not to cut you off there, but I think you touched on a very important thing. I don't want to sound like I'm lamenting in this world.
Right.
Ecclesiastes' view of this world, it is what it is. It might not be rewarded and I don't care, but it's the next world. And I think this is what people need to recognize, that most people on the right claim to be Christians. I'm Jewish, but we share the same value in this sense, that we all supposedly or claim to profess a belief that this world is very temporary,
right,
that the everlasting world is the next one. And standing between that world and this world is a judgment day. Okay. Yes. That is a universal belief in the Judeo-Christian worldview. And I just don't understand the actions of my colleagues. I don't understand it. Everything you do, you should be asking, does God want that from me? Now, that's not always an easy question to answer, but there should be at least an attempt,
right,
that there's something beyond, ooh, this is what's popular, this is what's cool, but it's not right. Oh, Bruce Jenner is awesome. Ooh, I'm going to get a whole following talking about the tranny stuff, but then I'm going to step around the biggest grooming of all, which is the normalizing it on the right and the hard right through,
right,
Bruce Jenner and Rick Grenell and Mar-a-Lago, which I don't understand how that's okay. Celebrating the mandating of gay marriage on red states in Mar-a-Lago, they had a party. I don't get that. I don't get how we were okay with that. But, like, you know what I'm saying? When it's our own family that's doing it, it's a bigger problem.
Yeah.
You know, I can't influence Hunter Biden. I can influence what our own people do. And I don't understand, getting back to when Trump said what he said about the vaccines, he took the most demonic statement from the Biden State of the Union address, trolling us that, oh, the very things that are causing cancer are going to be curing it. And, like, it's like, I want credit for that. Oh, like, clearly something is going on there, that you're either lying to us about the man that you support, or you're failing to influence him, or you have no influence over him. And look, if you're like, Daniel, yeah, you know, look, we lost control over him, he's going to do what he does, I forgive you, that's fine.
Right.
But let's work together and not put all of our eggs in that basket and try to forge a movement outside of him. I'm not even saying to criticize him. Just in your mindset, don't lie to us that all we have to do is just go out and vote for Trump, and somehow, A, he's going to win, which is very not clear, and B, if he does, any of this is going to be rectified. No, I mean,
of course it won't.
Let's get real.
No, I think it's become very clear. This is what I have said to my audience for, you know, many, many years, since 2015. I think the biggest threat that Trump poses to our movement is creating a space and oxygen for, you know, liberal progressive policies and initiatives. He essentially takes liberal and progressive ideologies, wraps them up in something red, something Trumpy, something MAGA, delivers it to his people, and they fall
it's
for
all
it,
good.
Hook, line, and sinker. And so we're morphing into even more so the, you know, progressive Democrat Party, just completely unmoored from values. It's just a very strange thing to watch. And I will also say that I said to my audience, you know, we all talked about mass formation psychosis. There's a lot of discussion about the psychology of groupthink and the mob mentality that we saw very clearly during COVID-19, when neighbor was pitted against neighbor. You know, you'd have people arresting people for, you know, having a mask fall beneath their nose, right? Inappropriately, like all the worst of the worst. But the first time I ever saw the mass formation, when what seemed like massive cult-like worship of an entity devoid of reason or common sense, complete with all of the anger and the passion, was during MAGA. It was in 2015 when I began to see it for the first time in my life. I, you know, even my loved one and my family members, like, they were experiencing a completely different reality than I was experienced, based on what they were hearing and seeing on social media. And I remember just thinking, wow.
And Fox News.
And Fox News, like, this is very potent. And you remember, you know, Donald Trump in his campaign did deploy, I believe it was Cambridge Analytics. I mean, they use that heavy psychological demographic profiling on social media to really deliver to people the messaging that they wanted people to see. And it was a very, very sophisticated campaign, very similar, I'm just going to say, to what I saw and to what we saw in during COVID. Maybe that's why we were resistant to it because we'd seen it in the past. But there is a thread among MAGA that is very disturbing to me. And there is a faith part of it. It's a prophetic word part of it that is specifically targeted at Christians. They know the right words to use. And as a Christian, I've been a Christian for 43 years, 44 years. I'm a mature Christian. I've read my Bible, Old Testament, New, back and forth 3 times. So, you know, I'm no spring chicken when it comes to this. Very, very manipulative language used among a Christian religious and a prophetic kind of portion of media that is just concerning to me. And I just, you know, I wasn't even planning on bringing that up.
And Shannon, what's particularly jarring is that came out of an era that we were just emerging from, where we made fun out of the left with the Messiah complex. Sean Hannity used to always call Obama the Messiah, but it's 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Because Obama actually delivered. I mean, he fundamentally transformed the country. And by the way, you know, the left is not shy. As far left as Obama was, kind of like with the Muslims, with Hamas and Israel. Remember, you know, he got around, he did a lot of things. He was mainly focused on economic domestic issues. So he didn't get around to immigration so much in his first term. So if you remember, he was still like ICE was still doing their thing. And that's right. Why, ironically, Obama actually removed more people than Trump did. So they called him the deporter in chief and they were really pissed off at him.
Yeah.
They didn't be like, shut up. How dare you criticize him? Look at everything. And he did do a lot for them.
No, the left attacked him.
No, they're like, what the heck?
Yeah, what are you doing?
He responded in his second term and he delivered on that. And that's when he came up with DACA and the amnesty and, you know, and then it spawned the first invasion of the unaccompanied minors from El Salvador and whatever.
Yep.
And the rest is history. And he delivered, but, you know, we said they were engaging in idolatry, but not really. They were looking out for their interests, and they did. We claim that we want A, and then, like, we don't even, like, nicely ask for it. Like, hey, buddy, could you stop with the vaccine stuff? Could you stop with the crappy personnel around you? I mean,
it's very strange.
I want to give you a sense of what we're up against now. We didn't have a primary, okay? We were told, shut up. See, we couldn't raise anything because anything would be viewed as beneficial to an opponent, DeSantis, so we can, fine, you have it. Now you have it. So, but shut up at the general election. Well, no, not really. I mean, we have plenty of time. Shouldn't we now at least have this conversation that, hey, buddy, you know, something is going awry here.
Yeah.
I want your listeners to just understand that anyone with a half a brain knows that there's personnel problems the first term, okay? I think even the big supporters, the ones that have, like, an IQ of more than 80, do recognize that there were a lot of liberal globalist types that he appointed to big positions, okay? So let me ask you this. In 2016, Trump was a pariah. He had almost zero support on paper from the GOP establishment, even in the general election. It was was unprecedented. I think Jeff Sessions was the only Republican senator who supported him. And so when he shockingly won, he could have easily just screw you.
Right.
He could have done whatever he wanted. And yet, as we all recognize, brought in Ryan Priebus as the chief of staff, all these people. Fast forward. Right now, the entirety of the establishment supports him. They're endorsing him. He's endorsing them. It is one thing. Johnson, McCarthy, all these guys. Okay? Do you understand who is going to be in that admin that he's going to pay off? The Tim Scotts, the Doug Burgums, all these guys. I could tell you right now, Doug Burgum will be Interior Secretary.
Yeah.
He would have been in 2020, by the way. He's the Bill Gates landowner.
Yeah.
In North Dakota. Okay? Kevin McCarthy. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to give it away, but I did have a conversation with a Freedom Caucus member. And because I was really pissed off about an endorsement that Trump screwed one of our guys. And I said, I got him to admit they have no control. They're like, they don't have the inside track. Meaning it's not even kind of like the MAGA sort of like the Matt Gaetz and whatever. They might take selfies at Mar-a-Lago. Mm. That's not who controls the actual discernible Trump outcomes. Yeah. The DTOs, okay? The discernible Trump outcomes are controlled by the Lindsey Graham sort of people the moneyed interests. That is the tragic Orwellian reality of what began with, I can't be bought because I have so much money, is he is so desperate to get in their graces now and collect from their donors that he's just throwing himself at them. That's exactly where the Bud Light thing. To be fair, I don't think Trump suddenly supports Dylan Mulvaney. It's all money.
He wants
the money.
But
that in many ways is even worse because that's systemic for all issues.
Well, and it makes him not independent. It makes him act not in the interest of the American people or the Constitution or even common sense or populism. It puts him in the service of those who are servicing his campaign. And that's where the
strings isn't that kind of what we were dealing with the GOP our whole life? I mean, what you're describing sounds an awful... Actually, Shannon, it's one step worse because the difference is this. Take Nikki Haley. Let's say Nikki Haley would become the GOP nominee. And one day she's like, okay, we need to let all the criminals out of prison to win the black vote. Everyone would laugh at it and move, you know, just totally oppose it.
Right.
This man, as we saw when he was present, particularly on that issue, but I'm just giving an example. He gets the core right that would be the most likely to rebel against it to totally like it's like a tranquilizer shot. Like you
this
just stand
down.
This is
what I have been saying. Republicans would have never taken the clot shot killer vaccine if it was served to them by even Nikki Haley or Rhino Republicans or Hillary or Biden ever. But Trump serves it up on a silver platter and they're like, shoot me up, baby, let's go. And this is why I've said to them, listen, to me, it is so clear that Trump is compromised, that he is not a free agent, that he is not free to do whatever he wants and drain the swamp and pursue. Let's be honest, Daniel, he does not even promise things anymore. He gets up on the stage and just rambles for 2 hours. There's no policy.
There's nothing
no platform,
there.
There's no promising. There's
because we allowed
there.
It.
There's just nothing there. That being said, when they get him, and this is why I am actually very different in my analysis about 2024 than a lot of even our outsider conservatives. And I believe it is very possible they hand the presidency to Donald Trump because if their plan is to pitch central banking digital currency after an economic meltdown, well, who would be the best person to do the job? Well, the guy who pitched the clot shots, then doubled and tripled down on them, and then had people support him even when they hated the shots and the lockdowns, but continue. So for me, I believe it's very likely that they will hand the presidency to Trump because he is controllable and he'll do what they tell him to do in the same way he did exactly what they told him to do in March of 2020 and in the last, 8 months of his presidency. I mean, am I crazy?
Shannon, I mean, I don't know what their intention is, but that would likely be the result if he were to win. So, I mean, look, there's an old statement.
It's a strong
one. There's an old adage in Israeli politics that it takes the left to make war and the right to make peace. Mm. That was, and the basic point was that, and it's true in every system that, if you have something transformational forged by one party, the other side's going to scream bloody murder, right?
And
undermine it, make it very difficult. So when you switch over and you have kind of someone on one side supporting something traditionally from the other side, that's where you get consensus. And that's really where it's the most dangerous. And I think that's what we saw. I mean, this is the problem I've had is that, you have some obscure Republican say something like the vaccines are awesome. People will be all over him. But with this guy, it's like there's no check and balance. And again, you should never be that way, even if you like him. You should always be striking a hard bargain because we shouldn't be about people. There's plenty of, the few Republicans that are decent. I'm always blowing up their phones. Let's do this. Let's do this. And, you have to do it in a way that you make it achievable for them. And, you know, you don't just be useless and heckle, but you say, you know, I try to make it, you know, give good talking points, give good data points. Here's something to use. Let's go and do this. I think this is a good opportunity. I'm always doing that
right.
with the few people that I have a relationship that have a modicum of power or something in some red state or whatever.
Right.
That's what you need to be doing. And what I'm so disappointed in some of these people is we had a primary, I mean, a fake one, but we should have been able to shake hands and be like, all right, we all on paper are saying we believe in the same things. The uniparty is terrible. No one's fighting all this stuff. The border, inflation. Okay. My guy wins. You know I'm going to be steering him to the right. Your guy wins. I can be confident you'll steer him to the right. We might disagree over who is the best option, but don't we all agree in the same thing? And the tragic thing that we learned in the last few months is that that's not true.
Right.
Because this man has veered to the left and there is no backstop.
Yeah.
There is no backstop.
It's a runaway train, or a runaway Trump train. I don't know where we're going. Daniel Horowitz, he is the host of the Conservative Review podcast. We are running out of time. I could really probably talk to you for a couple hours, Daniel, but I really value your time and respect. I know that it takes a lot to get you. And so, yeah, I want to let you go, but hey, you know, what, in terms of final thoughts, how do we get out of this? Where do you see a silver lining? Where do you see an opening, a crack, some avenue for us to exit, or take the off ramp on what is coming? Or are we going to have to suffer a little bit more? I mean, where can we go? How can we inspire the audience a little bit as we move forward into this election year?
We're definitely going to have to suffer more.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that. The only crack I see of something that an independent institution that has some sort of backing, that has a forward-looking agenda that speaks to this, that is not in the back pocket of any one personality, is the state freedom caucuses. And the reason is because what they are doing is taking mainly the states that already should be in our column, where, you know, the majority of the people would agree with us when we talk about invasion, inflation, indoctrination, yada, yada. But the Republicans for years have subverted the governments and are basically Democrats that, you know, get elected as Republicans so people don't bother to pay attention, but they do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing now, so what we always needed was a movement to wear a different jersey, the exact opposite of what we're saying, break the uniparty by totally going to war with them. And the, you know, Andy Roth, who's the president of the Freedom Caucus, Andy said recently that the mindset needs to be uniparty versus Freedom Caucus. That's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing in states like South Carolina now,
right,
where we're using the process to force votes that they don't want. And that will create an environment for primaries. And now we already have a bench of the leaders in that movement that are now starting to run for governor. And hopefully next cycle, if we last until then, we will have at least five or so red states where we can maybe get a DeSantis as a baseline to
build upon
than going backwards. But again, just a caveat that if my colleagues don't look in the mirror and find God and actually believe in something and actually lay down some sort of red flag on this man, again, you could vote for him, vote twice, vote thrice, ballot harvest, do whatever you need to do. I don't care. But what you can't have him do is interfere with what you all say you agree with and the only budding movement that we have to actually put points on the board, because what's happening, and this already happening in South Carolina, is he's endorsing against these guys. He's endorsing the leadership fund guys. So, you know, I'm going to lay down a specific example right here, right now, and I'm going to challenge all these bloviating fools to take a stand on this.
Yep.
We are going to have a solid candidate for governor and senator in South Carolina coming up next cycle. For governor, it's an open seat. For Senate, it's against Lindsey Graham-Esty. Now, isn't that something we should all agree with? I'm saying 100%. If you would poll the MAGA sort of like entities.
Yeah.
100% will say Lindsey Graham's a gay and whatever, yada, yada. You know, they won't have anything nice to say about him. Okay, right. Fine. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I know this for a fact. If we don't do anything right now to change the trajectory, Trump is going to endorse Lindsey Graham. That's a given. And he's going to endorse Tim Scott if he doesn't pick him for VP, or even if he does, because he might lose. And then Scott will be free to run. Scott wants to run for governor. That is a fact. He wants to run for governor. Now, he might also want to be picked for VP. Now, if he wins, he'll become VP. If he doesn't, he'll run for governor. He will absolutely endorse them.
Okay.
What is our plan to preempt that?
Right. Well, and that's, I mean, that is brilliant. And you're absolutely right. We need to export DeSantisism to red states. We need to, and to your point, I agree. The only thing they understand is pain, right? They don't access, like, you know, when you try to write them a nice letter or go to their black tie dinner or go to the fundraiser and gain access, have a meeting with them. And people tend to think that, oh, you know, I'm really, you know, advocating, and they really hear me. No. They don't. The only thing they understand is pain and more pain.
Yes.
And more pain. No money, no votes, no friendly media ever. Right. And so we don't understand how to get politicians to do what we want them to do. People have to learn how to
learn from the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right, exactly.
Learn from the Hamas bros.
Right.
The Hamas bros will get it done.
Right, exactly. Like, there's no Mr. Nice Guy in any of this, ever. And I've said to local Republicans here, you know, when they complain about when I call them out and I'm like, you know, by name, and I, you know, expose them for what they do. Or if I don't like support them, I'm like, listen, if I'm not saying anything, then you're lucky, right? Like, there's no, I'm never going to be nice to you. Even with politicians that I like, it's never going to be an easy softball interview.
Sure.
We're always going to be pushing for more. We should always be pushing more
always
liberty,
push for more
constitution, more sovereignty, more, you know, constitutional, God-given natural rights. Like, we just need to go for everything and not be ashamed of it. What on earth do we have to be ashamed of? Going for the Constitution and free markets and freedom and sovereignty and brotherhood and love. Like, come on now. It's gotten ridiculous. And I'm really thankful for your voice, Daniel Horowitz, and for being with us. Real quick, how can people find you? How can they help you? Let's leave them with that. Like, what can they do to help you today? Because I know my audience loves you and they want to help you out. And whatever you need, we're going to be there for you.
Sure. So all my columns are at The Blaze. You could subscribe there. And obviously, anywhere you get podcasts, conservative review podcasts, you could hear my rants every single day. We mix it up with a bunch of different issues. We have good guests, but, you know, very much monologues as well. At RM Conservative on Twitter, I would encourage, you know, to get both my books because they're both relevant. The Rise of the Fourth Reich on Biomedical Tyranny, and then obviously Stolen Sovereignty on the judicial supremacism, which is relevant today.
Okay.
Also on immigration sovereignty. And finally, I would just say, go to conaction.network, conaction.network. And if you're from a red state, I don't have blue states yet, but from a red state, and you want to sign up for one of our legislative strike force teams, and I'll put you together with one of our leaders. And what we do is we work with people like these Freedom Caucus guys to actually raise awareness to the good bills, the bad bills, what needs to be done, put up that pressure. Use our dominion and sphere of influence where we actually have it. If we understand there's a uniparty problem, well, if I talk about the Democrats all day, I'm not going to change anything.
Right.
Okay. Right. What makes it a uniparty is Republicans playing a double game in the conservative areas, running one way and doing another thing. And then at some point, you got to take that fight to the undisputed leader of that party for 8 years, right?
Yeah.
You know, at some point, you got to take ownership of that. That he is part and parcel of that.
Right.
And if he really is as good as you make him out to be, all the more it's indefensible not to play a little bit of a pressure game with him.
Sure.
As you should with anyone, as they did with Reagan. You know, right. Reagan always relished that because then he gets to look like moderate. Well, they're and Obama did this all the time. He would say, well, they want me to deport nobody, so therefore I'm going to do this. I remember he gave a speech like that.
Right.
And you can play games with that. You always need someone to be advocating for people like us, because if we don't, nobody will. And I think if you watch Trump's actions the last few months, the notion that it's going to work itself out without a course correction and without, you know, again, working on these other state issues aside from him is just ludicrous because we have proof of concept for 8 years already.
Yeah, very disturbing trend. Very disturbing trend. Thank you for being on top of that, Daniel Horowitz. ConAction.net. We're going to put everything in the show notes so you guys can get links to the books and to his podcast in the show notes right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Support Daniel Horowitz. Follow him on Twitter at RM Conservative. Thank you so much, my friend. Keep up the good work, okay?
God bless. Take care.
All right. And thank all of you for being with us on the Shannon Joy Show today. So thankful for our sponsors over at Connecta Mobile. Make sure if you are interested in learning about phone security and securing your phone and the phones of your families, all right, you want to go to phone123.com/joy. That's phone123.com/joy for total phone security from Connecta Mobile. Thank you to everyone for being with us today. You can support the Shannon Joy Show by contributing to our Locals channel right here on Rumble. Also, there is a donation button at the bottom of the live chat. You can follow the Shannon Joy Show. And also, if you want to go to theshannonjoy.com, that's theshannonjoy.com to support our independent efforts here on the Shannon Joy Show. It would be so appreciated. You guys are the best audience. Really glad that we could have that amazing conversation with Daniel Horowitz. He truly is a national treasure. Again, I've been working with him for almost 10 years. And even though everything changes around him, his principles are always rock solid. He never changes. I love the idea of working that bottom up angle from the state level, understanding that things are completely corrupted in Washington, D.C. He is a voice of reason. He is a clarion call in these very dark times. And I want to encourage all you guys to support him. Also, he's a very good friend of the Shannon Joy Show and has always been a great support. Okay, guys, we'll be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Make sure you keep it tuned right here. Tracy Beans, the editor in chief of Uncover DC, also the host of Truth to Light podcast. She's amazing. She'll be with us tomorrow to continue these important discussions right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Connecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Connecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Connecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Connecta.